Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. Of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgann. And get some messages to the show on Twitter, at GoForKen. And while you're there on Twitter, give me a follow there, at GoForKen. Great show lined up for you today. Expect to be joined by Pooch Hall, Derwin Davis of BET's The Game. He's going to be joining us today. We're going to talk about the show, talk a little sports with Pooch as well. Also, we're going to be joined by former NBA star Derek Anderson, who's going to stop on by, and we're going to discuss these upcoming NFL playoffs, NBA playoffs, as they get started today. The most wonderful time of the year is the NBA playoffs, so I can't wait for it to get started. Get started now as the Sixers, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Chicago Bulls are playing. So the playoffs have started. It's on and popping in the National Basketball Association. Playoffs. A very, very exciting time. The most wonderful time of the year, and that is the NBA playoffs. Also, we're going to be joined by the great Willie Rofe. Willie is down in New York at the NFL draft. He actually did the Saints pick last night in the third round. So we're going to get Willie's thoughts on the draft, and we're going to talk NBA playoffs with Willie as well. He's a big-time NBA fan, and so we're going to talk NBA playoffs with Willie, too. Again, the NBA playoffs are here, everybody. They are here. It's a very exciting time to be an NBA fan. These playoffs are so wide open. We're going to get to that in a minute. I want to start with the NFL draft. And very interesting pick, very interesting selection. Just happened about 20 minutes ago. The Washington Redskins, who on Thursday night selected Robert Griffin III, RG3, to be essentially their franchise quarterback, hopefully, if you're a Redskins fan, for the next 10, 12 years. But today, they made a very interesting pick in the fourth round. They picked Kirk Cousins of Michigan State, and he dropped in this draft, and the Redskins picked him up today, and it's just very interesting to me. I mean, to me, in taking Cousins, you open things up now. You open up a situation where you add extra pressure to Robert Griffin III. You open up a situation where you could have a quarterback controversy. Let's just say Griffin III comes out, first couple preseason games, struggles big time. Kirk Cousins gets some play against the second team and plays very well. Let's just say that happens. Then what happens? Then you have that whole situation. I just think this whole situation opens up a can of worms, a whole can of worms. And it's sort of reminiscent in some respect to many years ago, Troy Aikman. He was picked up by the Dallas Cowboys. And if you remember, in that same draft, the Cowboys also drafted Steve Walsh. And actually that year, the Cowboys were 1-15. But Steve Walsh was the quarterback who got the Cowboys their only victory that particular season. Obviously, Troy Aikman turned out to be a Hall of Fame, 3-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. But at the time, when you take a guy like Steve Walsh, you add, again, some unneeded pressures to your quarterback. And theoretically, you draft a quarterback number 2, you're essentially saying that quarterback is your franchise quarterback, and that's the guy you're going to be riding with for the next few years. That's essentially what you're saying. And now you look at it, Kirk Cousins, a guy that many believe should have went a little higher. You look at it now, RG3 comes out, struggles a little bit. Again, if you have those struggles, you now have a possible quarterback controversy on your hands. And with that quarterback controversy, again, you're putting unneeded pressure on RG3. Now, there's been talk about RG3's durability, and so maybe this gives him a level of protection just in case he is not as durable. And it does give him a level of protection just in case RG3 is not the franchise quarterback who many thought he would be. But do you get him off to a good start? Do you give him? Are you giving him confidence by making his selection? And RG3 seemingly seems like a very confident individual, very confident quarterback. But you look at this whole situation now, you're possibly opening up a can of worms here. You're possibly opening up an opportunity for confusion, an opportunity for controversy. I mean, again, let's just say RG3 goes into the regular season now, struggles the way a lot of rookie quarterbacks over the years have done. They have struggled. Let's say he struggles. Let's just say Kirk Cousins comes in 4 or 5 games into the season, maybe 6, comes on in, plays good football, excuse me. Let's just say he plays good football. Let's just say he's getting it done. Then what do you do? What do you do? And maybe it's going to take RG3 maybe a year or two to get his legs under him, get his mind right, get everything going so he can be a successful NFL quarterback. Maybe Kirk Cousins gets it right away, but the ceilings may not be the same. RG3's ceiling and Kirk Cousins' ceiling may be very different. And they are very I think they are very different. RG3 has an opportunity to be an elite quarterback for many, many years, a franchise quarterback. I don't think you can say the same about Kirk Cousins. I just think if you're a Washington Redskins fan and if you're the organization, I think this was a mistake. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how this whole thing shakes out. But you're now putting unneeded pressure, and there's going to be a lot of pressure already on RG3. I mean, look, he is the number 2 pick in the NFL draft. Automatic pressure that comes with that. Some deal with it very well, some don't. I mean, you had Cam Newton last year who came out on the scene and played some very good football. I mean, was a very good quarterback last year. Will RG3 be the same? He may not. He may not step on the scene and be very successful, be ultra successful. He may not. He may struggle. Rookie quarterbacks do that. And I know late we've been getting kind of spoiled in terms of the play you had last year with Andy Dalton leading his Bengal team to the playoffs. Of course, Cam Newton, who played very well. Then Matt Ryan few years back, he stepped on the scene, played very well. I mean, so you're getting a little spoiled, I think, and I think people are maybe getting a little spoiled because the quarterback position is one of the toughest positions, not only in football, but in sports. It's one of the toughest positions in sports. And it's a tough position to learn. Some step on the scene and dominate, others struggle. Who's to say RG3 will not struggle? I mean, it's the nature of the beast. It comes with the position. Coming out and struggling initially is the nature of the position, the nature of the situation as a rookie quarterback in the National Football League. But we'll see. I mean, maybe RG3 comes out and plays very well and dominates right away. Maybe he doesn't, and it's a good possibility that he won't. History will tell you there's a good possibility that he won't. Percentages will tell you that it's a good possibility that he won't, that he will struggle this first year. History has shown you that. Recent history, last couple years, has shown you that some rookie quarterbacks have been successful right away. So, I mean, we'll see how this whole thing plays out, and it should be very interesting to see what happens here. But I think if you're a Redskin fan right now, I think this is a head-scratcher in some respect, because now you're putting more pressure on RG3. And there's already enough pressure on this guy. Again, he is a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks already have pressure. They already come into the situation with pressure. Now he has even more pressure. And we'll see how he handles it. We shall see how he handles it. We shall see. And speaking of pressure, the NBA playoffs are here. A lot of pressure on a lot of people, on a lot of teams. And a few moments, we're going to bring in Derek Anderson, former NBA star, and we're going to get his take on the upcoming NBA playoffs. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a very wide-open situation. I can't wait for it. It's starting now. It's just gotten underway, and it's going to be very, very exciting. We're going to bring in Derek Anderson right after this.
Okay.
Hey,
what up?
That.
It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man, Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
And get it is what's going to happen right now with the NBA playoffs. It's going to be beautiful. I just can't wait. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to this. These next few months to see how this whole thing plays out. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a very interesting situation. Let's bring in a guy who knows a lot about the NBA playoffs and knows a lot about NBA basketball, former NBA star, Derek Anderson. Derek, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well.
Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. Glad to be on. Good time of the year.
Yeah, great time of the year. Most wonderful time of the year. And looking at it, Derek, before we get into the playoffs, I got to ask you about Meta World Peace, 7-game suspension for his elbow on James Harden. The suspension too long, too short? Are you okay with it?
My thing is we need to get the problem corrected, you know, as far as players knowing that they have responsibilities. Like, you can't go out into a bar fight and keep having bar fights by getting some kind of rash penalty. I know guys getting, you know, fights in as far as, like, competition battles, but that's just ridiculous. I mean, I don't like to take a man's paycheck, but I mean, there's a point where you got to look at it and say, this is more than basketball. This is about a person being a good dude, period. And
right.
If you don't stop that or try to help this man outside of basketball, he's not good for society itself. But I know him, and he's not that bad of a dude. So I don't know if his antics are catching up to him, but I think if you give that guy that hard love, I think he'll eventually change, and it'll help the league out as well.
So you think he should have got the whole season?
Well, I wouldn't say the whole season, but, we have to address the situation. He's been doing good. But
okay.
There's a point in time where you can't let this stuff just keep going. And
right.
That's the point, because he's messing up everybody else's career. And what if all these fans start losing more fans because they get mad at us to keep having fights? But it's
right.
Only a few individuals. You know how it is. One
right.
bad apple can make everybody else look bad. So
very
I
true.
I think he needs to be put in a situation where he's addressed it in certain situations and help the league out.
I got the sense with this whole situation that he just got caught up. He just got caught up in the excitement of the big dunk and everything. And, it was vicious. It looked somewhat intentional, but I don't think he meant to do it the way it happened, if that makes sense.
Who celebrates by doing that? Like, I've never seen that celebration before.
Right.
Like, I done dunked on plenty of people, and I didn't see Kevin Garnett. You remember when Vince Carter dunked on the 7-footer and Kevin Garnett threw his hand all the way up in there but almost hit that guy?
Right.
Well, that's where your elbows go up the sky, not to the side of your face. So
right.
I just disagree. But once again, man, it's just something personal that he's got to calm himself down. He's not a bad guy
right.
at all. When you do certain things off of emotion, you have to be accounted for him and get him all corrected. And that way everybody's good.
Definitely. Let's move to the playoffs now. I want to start with the Eastern Conference. I look at the East and I say two teams, possibly three, got the Bulls, you got the Heat, and possibly Boston. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's all three. I don't think we're going to have surprises. It's going to be one of those three that we see in the finals. I still like the Knicks if they had Lynn healthy, but I still like them because they have veterans. There's no experience for experience, and I think that's the difference. I think once those guys, those experiences start to catch up, which are those three teams and New York Knicks, they have a chance to do something. I think
so
the
you
Knicks
want
to
add
is a scary team.
So you're adding the Knicks into that mix?
Yeah. I think they have the experience. I mean, you look at their guys. They have experience. I mean, Baron Davis, Amari, Melo, I mean, that's just too much experience to just think you're going to walk over them. It ain't that easy. I mean, granted, they might have a good, you know, maybe a bad game, but that ain't going to be no easy win for Miami.
And let's talk about that series, a very intriguing series here, 2-7 matchup. The Heat dominated the Knicks in the regular season, 3-0 in the regular season. But the Knicks are a different team now. They're defending under Mike Woodson. They have a lot of depth. They have some players to beat the Heat. I don't think they get it done. I think the Heat win this thing in six. But who do you like here?
I like Miami. I think Miami is the team to beat. I finally saw those guys come together. I saw LeBron grow up and say, you know what, I'm going to put things on my shoulder a lot more. And, you know, he's grown up. I think this is the year that they do it. So, to me, I don't think anybody's going to stand in their way. But, again, you can't just walk over people, especially with teams that have experience.
Right, and the Knicks are a dangerous team, especially with Melo and Amari Stoudemire, especially Carmelo Anthony right now, who's really scoring the basketball very well.
Absolutely.
And let's move to the Boston Celtics now against the Atlanta Hawks, the 4-5 matchup. Celtics playing some great basketball right now. Kevin Garnett at the center spot. Avery Bradley steps in at the two spot, playing some good basketball as well. I think this is their last run together. And I think they get by the Hawks. They don't have Al Horford in this series. That's going to be big. The Hawks do have home court advantage, but I don't think it matters. How do you see this series playing out?
It should be a good series, but I'm like you. I think since KG is playing center, he doesn't have to play against a real center like Dwight or Horford. So I think Boston wins and might go seven. You know, I think they'll push him to the wire if Atlanta doesn't come out and play hard. But I see it being a good series though. But I definitely think Boston will. I think Boston will have a better chance of surviving because of the experience.
Right, I would agree with that. I think experience wins here in this series, and I like the Celtics as well. If they're healthy, and that's key, Ray Allen is questionable for game one here, so we'll see. If they're healthy, they should win this series, and that's a big if.
Atlanta beat them, yeah. Atlanta can shock you now. Atlanta, they got some talent on that team, and once again, they got veteran talent.
Definitely. I would agree with that, especially the way Josh Smith is playing right now. He's playing some good basketball as well. And looking at it now, Derek, I mean – the Orlando Magic and the Indiana Pacers, a lot of people are writing the Magic off in this series. I don't think they win this series without Dwight Howard, but I think with the coaching they have with Stan Van Gundy and some of the playoff experience they have with Jameer Nelson, Hedo Turkoglu, Big Baby Davis, I think it's going to be a tough series here. I don't think the Magic will win, but I think they're going to push it to seven games. Do the Magic have a shot here, Derek?
I think they do because, yeah, experience. Indiana doesn't have as much experience. So, I mean, you think about it, the talent level and the win percentage will show one thing. But I think once the playoffs start, it's a whole different ball game, and that's exactly what we're going to see. But I see Indiana giving them at least a six-game goal, and they should win it. But
yeah,
Orlando, again, is a tough team. So.
Right, and I think people dismiss – I mean, we all know the situation Stan Van Gundy had with Dwight Howard and everything this season. But Stan Van Gundy is a very good coach. He's been to the NBA Finals, been to the Conference Finals a few times. He's a very good coach.
Yeah, he's a good coach. I mean, he understands it makes his players better and whatnot. So that's the key. It's just hard, man. It's hard to go for Orlando when they don't have a big fella inside. I mean, we saw how they played when he wasn't around, and it's up and down for him. You can't be up and down in the playoffs, so – nothing against the players, but you have your big guy going, you haven't adjusted to them in the playoffs, you pretty much don't have a chance.
Right. And that's a team that they don't have many guys who can do things off the dribble, and a lot of players were working off of Dwight Howard and the double teams in those open three-point shots. They're not going to have that, but I still think they make it competitive. They don't win this series, but it's going to be competitive. But we'll see.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And let's go to the 1-8 matchup, the Sixers-Bulls. Evan Turner of the Philadelphia 76ers said he wanted to face the Bulls, said he wanted this matchup, and I kind of agree with him. I mean, the Sixers would have had no shot against the Miami Heat. They do not match up against the Miami Heat at all. But you look at the Bulls right now, Derrick Rose is back, but he's been banged up throughout the course of this season. I give the Sixers a shot here. I think they make it competitive. Ultimately, the Bulls win this thing in six. In your mind, Derek, can the Sixers win this series?
Yes, they can because they play basketball. I'm looking at them. They play basketball. They don't worry about who's on the team, who X's and O's, none of that. They play basketball. If Philadelphia beats them in an upset kind of thing, I wouldn't be surprised. I played in the NBA 11 years, and I've seen it happen. I've seen – you remember when the Knicks was ranked one, and they played, I think, Miami playoffs or somebody, and they, the other team, they were the 1-8 seed, and they wound up beating everybody. You
right,
can't
that was
you can't substitute experience, and this is one of those games where if you don't be careful, Philly can beat you. I'm thinking Chicago got a chance, but even though my buddy Jody Meeks is on Philly, it's hard for them guys to beat a team seven games.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny you said that, talked about, because that was the Knicks back in 1999 during the lockout shortened season. And we have a lockout shortened season here. It should be interesting. I mean, I don't think this – I'm a lifelong Sixers fan. I don't think they can win this series, but I think they can make it competitive. And who knows with Derrick Rose – in and out of the lineup the whole year, who knows, injuries could happen. And injuries could play a big role in this series.
Yeah, it definitely can. I mean, experience takes over anything. When you look at basketball, you can have all the talent in the world. Until you get that experience, man, you can't compete with these guys. These guys know how to finish a play. They know how to make the plays work. All that comes into effect. And I think that's the biggest difference right now.
We're talking to former NBA star Derek Anderson. Talking NBA playoffs, most wonderful time of the year, great time if you're an NBA fan. Let's go out west now, Derek, and I look at the Western Conference, and I look at six teams that could get to the NBA Finals, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, the Clippers, and the Mavericks. The West is very wide open. I don't really think there is a favorite here. I mean, this is the most wide open I've seen the Western Conference in a long time. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, once again, I mean, people counted out the Lakers, and you got Kobe Bryant on that team. You can't count them out just because of him. I mean, they're not even mentioning trying to, you know, be the finals type of team. But with this guy doing now, it's pretty much over. And I think the difference with the West is they're going to beat each other up. So there's no telling who's going to be the best team come out of there. Because I actually picked Oklahoma because they have youth. But once again, if they play against like the Dallas, that's a veteran team. They might exit all them guys all the way to a game seven and beat them. But I've picked Oklahoma to go to the finals. But I mean, this is a draw. You can pick anybody out of that top six, and they can all make it to the finals, and it'll be a great finals because all those teams are great.
You're right. I mean, any of those teams could come out, and that's what makes the Western Conference much more intriguing than the Eastern Conference. But these playoffs, all of these matchups, West and East, are intriguing. But I think the West is a little more intriguing because you have six teams who could actually get to the finals, legitimately.
And actually be a great finals.
Right. And that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so much in the West, man. It's when I used to play, it was the same way. You had us, San Antonio, the Lakers, Utah with Stockton and Malone, I mean, the Sacramento Kings. I mean, you looked at all four or five, six of us, and we played, and it was almost to a point where we could anybody could just win, and nobody would have been like, well, that's an upset.
Exactly. That's a great point.
Yeah, right now in the East, it can be upsets, and people will be like, that's a real upset.
Right. And let's look at it now. Let's start with the 1A matchup, the Spurs and Jazz. Spurs playing very well right now. Added Boris Diaw, added Steven Jackson. Great, great pickup for this ball club. The number one seed, playing some good basketball right now. I think after last year, they're going out in the first round, Greg Popovich, Tim Duncan, and those boys, they're not going to do that again. They're not going out in the first round. I think this might be a sweep. How do you view this series?
Once again, you can't say that. I mean, these teams are unbelievable. I mean, you can't look at this team and be like, yeah, they're not going to get it done. It's just impossible right now. I mean, I don't see him sweeping anybody, really, but I see him beating everybody. I think they're a team that if they come to play and they're healthy, they could beat anybody because they've been playing on a well-oiled machine, and that's the biggest difference. When you got a signature way of playing and it works, it's very hard to scout that and it's very hard to beat that. So my thing is they're a capable team of actually winning all the way through and winning the whole thing as well.
And you talked about that. You talked about the Spurs way. You played under Greg Popovich. Talk about the Spurs way.
All we do is do what we do. We don't try to match what someone else's team does. We didn't try to do something to make sure to tilt them off their rocker. They had to tilt us off our situation. And we beat the Lakers 4-0 that year. and before Juwan Howard took me out and hooked my shoulder up, that we wind up getting swept against the Lakers, who we beat 4-0 in the regular season. So, I mean, there's all kind of things that you have to adjust to. But Popovich, he's doing what his team does well, and that's the way they play. Nothing new, nothing fancy. Just go play basketball the way we've been winning, and that's what he'll do. Most teams try to adjust to other teams, and you'd be like, where'd that come from? And he's doing what they're not comfortable doing, and it messes them up.
Right. And let's go back to that many years ago and that's in your shoulder situation. If you're healthy, you think you guys get to the finals?
Absolutely. We got to the conference finals. I mean, we only needed to beat the Lakers.
Right.
But we already beat Minnesota with Kevin Garnett and all those guys. Then we wound up beating Dallas with Steve Nash and all them, even though I was hurt. And then the next one was conference finals. So okay. I think we beat them 4-0, and they were healthy when we beat them 4-0. All Shaq right. and Kobe played every game. We were making plays. We were making Kobe guard me, and I was coming off pick and rolls with Tim and David, and it was just a long, long night for him. He just never had his balance the whole time. But then when I didn't play against him, we had Antonio Daniels, who was more of a defender instead of an offensive player.
Right.
So it just it changed up the whole scheme of things.
And Derek, let's go to the next matchup. You have the Mavericks and Oklahoma City. Again, this matchup can go either way. I think this is a perfect matchup for OKC because they struggled down the stretch, and now playing the Dallas Mavericks, the world champions, Dallas Mavericks, OKC is going to have to step up their game. I think OKC wins this in six. Go ahead.
I'm hoping you're right, even though I like JT to win, but it's just one of those times, man, that these young guys, if they come back and learn how to play in the finals, this is a team that we'll be talking about like San Antonio for the next 5-6 years. You will expect those guys to win. Once they get over this hump of winning in the playoffs, you'll start to understand that this is the team to beat.
Right.
And that's the difference in those guys. They have to find a way of doing that. And the biggest thing with these young guys is experience. Because Dallas, if you come and you don't execute, Dallas will beat them. And I mean beat them. Not like last-second shots. They might get up 20 on them guys, and them young guys, they shoot a lot of jumpers. And that's the thing in the playoffs. If you're not making jump shots and free throws, you will lose. I don't care what team you are.
And looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder, a lot of people have questioned whether Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook really can win together. I mean, I think they can. I mean, Westbrook is a special talent. I think they can win with Westbrook and Durant together. Do you think they can do that?
Absolutely. I think they definitely. They got the right players, the right Harden if he comes back in. And I tell everyone, you need three guys to win a championship. You need three focal point gentlemen to really win a championship. And the biggest thing with those guys is they have that. They have three with a bunch of great role players, every position field, every backup field, great coaching, and youth. Now the experience is what they lack. And there's, like I said again, there's no substitute for that. They have to find a way of winning this game, getting their confidence up, and getting up like at least 2-0 and go from there. Because when we played Dallas and won it, when they were – two up on us, we wind up winning four in a row. It can happen.
It can happen, and anything can happen in the playoffs. And moving now to the Lakers and Nuggets, I heard Charles Barkley say that the Nuggets would win this series. I don't see it. I mean, the Nuggets can put up points. They have some size, but the one thing they don't have is Kobe Bryant. I like the Lakers to win this thing in six. How do you see this thing playing out?
Jelly bean in six, I'm with you.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's simple. I mean, I like Denver, but then the Wilson guy, he got hurt. And
Wilson
I mean,
Taylor.
It's just not. Yeah, it's just not the same. So, I think the Lakers in six again. Experience. Who's on Denver's team that's been in the finals? Like,
great
you can't
point.
Think of anybody. You know what I mean? They don't have that. They have youth and they have the will to win, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see it. They don't have Kobe Bryant. And finally, Derek, the best matchup, I think, in the playoffs, Grizzlies, Clippers. I mean, these teams are so even. But I think the style of play in the playoffs will favor the Grizzlies. The game slows down a little bit. They have the low post guys, Randolph and Gasol. It's a toss-up, though. I can't call this one. I'm going to let you. Who wins this series?
Man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Only reason I like Memphis, I think they have a full staff of talent. But do you remember when Detroit Pistons played us, Miami, and it was always a battle between us? That's
right.
What this is like. You had Rasheed Wallace against Alonzo Mourning, Ben Wallace, and And I mean, it was just, I mean, it was talent on top of talent, and that was the difference. It's like, it's hard to see who's going to win. You just have to figure out who executes down the stretch, and that's who will win. But right now, I'm going to have to roll with the Clippers.
Okay, you're going to roll with the Clippers, even though the Grizzlies have home court advantage.
Yeah, I just think CP and those guys, man, they understand how to win. They understand how to play basketball. Kenya's been in the playoffs. I mean, it's just too much talent on that team to them not know how to finish and execute games. And for Memphis to win, they basically have to get everyone involved and get everyone playing super well to beat those guys.
We're talking to former NBA star Derek Anderson, talking NBA playoffs. Derek, you had Miami coming out of the East. Who do you have coming out of the West? Oklahoma City?
Yes, Oklahoma or San Antonio.
Okay.
One of those two teams will be in the finals in and I don't see anybody beating Miami in a 7-game series. I think they've matured too much. I think everyone has put the past behind them. I think they'll execute, and I think they'll have the strength to do it. I mean, LeBron's playing like Mike used to play, where every season you think he could be the MVP.
Right.
And that's very hard to do. You know what I mean? Like, every year Michael Jordan played, you could have said, hey, he could have won the MVP. They were giving it to Karl Malone or whoever, but every year he played, he had the numbers, the seasons, the victories, everything. And I think that's the same situation with LeBron. He's picked up his game to where he can actually do whatever he wants at any time, and that's the difference in him winning a championship now.
And, Derek, you got a lot of things going on outside of basketball. Obviously, you are retired. Talk about some of the things you're doing now.
Actually, I'm a screenwriter. I've been writing feature films for movies. I have my own book, a couple books coming out. I have my own water I'm going to launch in Kentucky. It's called Victory Water. It'll be out. Work with Monster Headphones. We're doing a lot of things for DJs in the summer. I mean, just trying to stay involved in a lot of things to keep myself going as my life starts to progress. I want to be settled, you know, when I'm 50. I want to be able to retire on the things that I've done now at 37. So you always have a process. I said I'll retire after 10 years in the NBA. I did 11. I got 15 years in the industry. I want to do that and continue to move on. So, you know, most of my work is done in the film industry. It's, like I said, screenwriter, directing. And I probably want to live in that mode. But like I said, I get my water and my book, get those things out. It should be exciting.
And where can we find information about some of the things you have going on right now?
You can look up DerekAndersonWorks.com.
Okay.
It's DerekAndersonWorks with the S.com, and it'll all be on my site. Everything will be uploaded, and be exciting. You get a whole lot of things. And I'm glad Kentucky won a championship. Great time to launch my water, Victory Water. And
Definitely.
And it should be good.
Great,
I'm excited.
Great timing. Great timing on your part.
Yes, sir. Great timing.
You knew you must have known something. You had to know something.
Hey, they kept trying to compare that team to my 96 team. I told them it wasn't no comparison, but I'm sure glad they won because I was getting booed from everybody.
That 96 team was special. I don't think
wasn't even close. Nobody can ever come close to us that year. So, I mean, even the other guys from other teams said, the UCLA guys like, man, that team was just unstoppable. Like, our first five might have been better, but when you got five other NBA guys coming off the bench,
right,
how do you do that? Like, how do you keep your breath? Like, guys, teams, coaches was trying to take timeouts to get rest. They were just like, man, we can't keep up. Like, I mean, Ron Mercer was a subbing in for me, and he was the number five pick in the draft. Like, how many teams does that?
You're right. That's
UNLV UNLV had maybe a good five. But when they came in for subs, the way we pressed and played for 40 minutes, it's just impossible to beat us.
Very great point. That team was a great, great college basketball team. And, Derek, I know you have a Twitter. Where can fans connect with you on Twitter?
It's Derek L. Anderson, and it's D-E-R-E-K, the letter L, Anderson. And I will be on there. I usually reply back to all my fans and people who want to interact, and we keep stuff going. It's good networking, man. People don't just be on there wasting time. They be on there actually networking, telling people what's going on, kind of get responsive suggestion ideas and that stuff. So it's pretty good, man. I like it.
Derek, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with all your endeavors. And let's do this again.
All right, anytime, Paul. Thanks for having me, man.
Take care.
Okay, guys.
Derek Anderson, former NBA star. Great insight. Great insight about the upcoming NBA playoffs. Great insight about playoff basketball, period. I mean, it's to his point. I mean, he made a lot of great points, but this playoff is so wide open right now. I mean, it is, especially in the Western Conference. The Western Conference is wide, 6 teams deep. that can legitimately win and get to the NBA Finals. Legitimately. Like, these are legitimate championship contending teams. You can't say that about the East, but you can definitely say that about the Western Conference. But regardless, and that's a lot of these series and everything, there are some of these things, some of these series are toss-up. Grizzlies, Clippers, an absolute toss-up. Mavericks, Oklahoma City. The Mavericks can win that series. The Mavericks could win that series. Celtics, Hawks. The Hawks can win it. They have home court advantage. The Hawks can win that series. You know, and Knicks, Heat. The Knicks could win that series with the talent that they have. With the way they defend the basketball right now. The coaching that they're getting from Mike Woodson. So, there's a lot of toss-ups. There's a lot of matchups where you can just throw the ball in the air or flip a coin and say, you know what? This team is going to win. And if it goes heads, you know what? I'm going to ride with that. That's how wide open this thing is. That's how wide open this thing is. And we'll see. We shall see. And again, I'm looking forward to these NBA playoffs, and it's on and popping right now in Chicago. End of the first quarter, 28-24 Bulls. And again, Evan Turner, a Chicago guy, this is the matchup that he wanted. This was the matchup that he wanted, and this is the matchup that he got. But there's an old adage out there. There's an old saying out there. Be careful what you wish for, because you might get exactly what you thought you wanted. And what they thought, meaning the Philadelphia 76ers and Evan Turner, they wanted it to Chicago Bulls. And, you know, you don't like guys throwing out bulletin board material, especially being the eighth seed. You don't like to see that. But, I mean, there is some truth to what he's saying. I mean, the Sixers do not match up well at all against the Miami Heat. They just don't do it at all. Miami's too athletic, too much firepower, and just too many stars. Too many stars. And not stars, superstars in Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. The Sixers cannot contend with that. The Knicks have a much better opportunity, but you look at it, the Knicks were swept by the Heat in the first round. Not in the first round, but throughout this season, throughout the course of this 66-game season. Excuse me. The Knicks were swept by the Heat in this season. But I look at it this way. I look at it this way. Anytime you have a guy in Melo and in Amari Stoudemire, more so Melo than Stoudemire at this stage of their careers, Melo, these guys have an ability to be able to drop 30 or 40 in your building and steal a basketball game. And the Knicks can do that. And I didn't even mention Tyson Chandler, who may not play game one because of the flu, but his ability to defend the rim, his ability to rebound the basketball. I mean, the New York Knicks, Tyson Chandler, and Derek Anderson talked about, but the experience that they have, Baron Davis as well. Not the same type of player that he was years ago, but still a decent point guard, still a legitimate point guard threat in this league. But not the same. As you wonder how different this would be if Jeremy Lin was healthy. Or would it have been different at all? Would it have been different at all? I don't know. But I do know this. We're going to have a very good series with the Knicks and the Heat. And it should be a very good series. And I think, again, the Heat will win. I think the Heat will win the finals. I think the Heat will win this series, but I think it's going to be a tough series. It's going to be a long series. It's going to be a long, tough series, especially when you have a guy like Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire who can score the basketball the way those guys can score the basketball. So I'm looking forward to it, obviously, and I've been looking forward to these playoffs for the longest. Great time to be an NBA fan. Great time of the year. And let's go back now. I want to go back to the NFL draft. And you look at it now. Obviously, the first two picks, no surprises there. Luck to the Colts. Griffin III to the Baylor. I mean, not the Baylor. To the Redskins. And he came from Baylor, obviously. But he went to the Washington Redskins. And so you have Luck 1, Griffin III 2, and then you had the Cleveland Browns who traded up, who swapped with the Minnesota Vikings, and they took Trent Richardson at 3. Vikings would stay at 4 and take Matt Khalil. And you look at Richardson. Richardson's a guy that Jim Brown, the great Jim Brown, called average, called him an average back. But he had a lot of success, a lot of success at Alabama. Powerful back. And I think he will be successful in this next level. I think he will be successful in the next level. You had Khalil going to the Vikings, and then you had Jacksonville trading up and getting Justin Blackmon, big-time receiver at Oklahoma State. And then you had the Cowboys moving up to take Maurice Claiborne out of LSU. And so you look at the situation with Claiborne and interesting comments. He had a very low Wunderlich score. I believe it was about 4. One of the lowest scores in a while, in a long time. But he said something interesting. He said he blew off the test. And the Wunderlich test, 50 questions, 12 minutes to complete it. He said he blew off the test. And he only received a 4. I mean, that was the lowest score in 12 years. The lowest score reported in 12 years. The average is 21. The average score is 21. Claiborne got 4. And he said he blew the test off, but he did say he regretted not taking the test more seriously. Should we read? I mean, I'm not reading anything into the score, but I'm reading something into, I'm asking, should we read into him saying that he blew the test off? Because to me, it's essentially similar to if I am in going on a job interview, I'm at the interview, and, you know, I'm given a test by my employer, because that's essentially what happened here. He's given a test by the NFL, who will be his employer, not specifically, obviously it's going to be the Dallas Cowboys. But if you have a situation now where you go to a job interview, and in some respect, you blow off the job interview, because that's what you're doing when you're blowing off the Wunderlich test on some level. And I'm not saying it's an indicator of how great you're going to be or how bad you're going to be. But what I'm saying is when you have a situation where you have a test where teams are looking to judge you on, you need to take it seriously. Like I said, had a little break there, struggling through a cold right now, making it through, but I'm struggling right now. Excuse me. But anyway, when you're doing a job, when you go to a job interview, your goal at the job interview is to try to impress the employer. Your goal is to impress the employer. Any means necessary in some respect. Wunderlich test. Judging you is a way to assess your intellect. 40-yard dash, a way to assess your speed. Bench press, a way to assess your strength. All these all these things, all these measurables are a way to assess you. So a ways to see what type of player you may be. Or what type of player you could be. All measurables. These things are all measurables. Now, do they have some faults? Sure. But I discussed this last week. Obviously, there's not an exact science in drafting players. There's not. So that's why you have wunderlics and 40-yard dashes and so on and so forth. You need to look at all the measurables to decide and figure out whether or not. You got to look at the data to decide and figure out whether or not this player will be successful on the next level. You have to do that. You have to do that. And the reality is, you look at it, you look at the situation, you look at it, you cannot blow that test off. You cannot blow that test off. You can't say, I blew the test off. You can't do that. You can't do that. And granted, youth has something to do with it, but at the same time, this is a job interview. When you come to a job interview, you're going to come prepared. You're going to be dressed for the part, and you're going to be prepared for all different types of questions. You're going to be prepared. You have to be prepared. If you're not prepared to succeed, you're preparing to fail. And in some respect, Morris Claiborne prepared to fail because he didn't prepare for this wunderlic test. You got to prepare for that test. You got to prepare for the test. But at the end of the day, he did. And he got a 4. And it didn't affect him, obviously. He got drafted very high, 6th by the Cowboys. So it didn't affect his draft standing. But in the future, I hope he learns from this. I hope this is a learning experience for him, because you got to take things seriously. You got to take something like this seriously. And again, he was saying that he looked at it and he didn't see a lot of football questions. And at that point, he just kind of blew it off in a lot of ways. But if you're trying to get a job and the employer wants you to fill out certain paperwork or take certain testing, and you know about the testing. You know about the testing. You got to do it. You got to do it. And you got to be prepared to do it. Morris Claiborne was not prepared to do it. And thus, he got a 4 on his wunderlic test. He got a 4. The lowest score in a dozen years. The lowest score in over a decade. That's not a good look. That's not a good situation. But again, it didn't affect him. He got drafted. And we'll see what he does on the next level. We'll see what he does on the next level. I'm interested. I am interested to see. But again, in the future, in any other future NFL draft prospects, if you're taking the wunderlic test, please prepare. Please prepare. And as the old saying goes, if you don't prepare, you're preparing to fail. If you don't prepare, you are preparing to fail. And that's it. And that's it. Bottom line. You're listening to Go For It on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey. Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Picturica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Corey, and that's what we do here. We get it, and we have a good old time. Let's go through the NFL draft more. Now, you look at it, Claiborne went to the Cowboys at 6. Ryan Tannehill, an interesting prospect. Some people had a lot of teams were talking about him, according to some reports. I know there was talk that the Eagles had some interest in him. I know a few other teams had interest in him. There was talk maybe that Cleveland would take him as well. But he ended up going to the Miami Dolphins at nine. And, again, you look at the Dolphins, and that's a team obviously rebuilding right now, a situation in the offseason where it seemed like no one wanted to go to Miami, Matt Flynn, and so on and so forth. But the Miami Dolphins are starting over, and they're going to start over with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback. He's going to be their quarterback for the future, and we'll see how successful he can be on the next level. We shall see how successful he really and truly will be on the next level. I have my questions. I have some doubts, but we'll see. We shall see what happens there, but I have some doubts there. And, you know, I'm a lifelong Eagles fan, and when I heard somebody talk about the Eagles and Tannehill and moving up to get him, I just wasn't overly enamored with Ryan Tannehill. I just wasn't overly enamored with him. But we'll see what happens with the guy. We'll see if he will be successful on the next level. We shall see. I didn't love the guy. So we'll see. And that's, I mean, and talking about the NFL draft now, you can read various people saying, okay, this team was a winner, this team was a loser, so on and so forth. But the reality is you don't even know who's going to be what. Truly, you don't. I mean, you can make some assumptions, obviously, but truly, at the end of the day, you don't know. You really don't know. And that's the thing with this NFL draft. You don't know. I mean, this is the ultimate, it's a crapshoot in a lot of ways. It's a crapshoot. These are all educated guesses. These are all educated guesses. Based on film and what they did on the college level, based on measurables, 40-yard dash, bench press, Wonderlic testing, based on all those various things. But truly, truly, you can't really read into Mel Kiper saying this team was a winner, John Clayton saying this team was a loser, Mike Mayock saying this team was a winner, so on and so forth. You can't really read into that because you don't know. This is an inexact science. Drafting is an inexact science. There is not a science to this thing. It's almost like raising kids. There is no science, really, to raising kids. A lot of raising kids is a field thing, because the reality is you can raise two kids the same way and those two kids will turn out differently. I can raise little Johnny and little Joey the same way. Little Johnny could be crazy and little Joey could be an executive. That's the reality of raising kids. And I say that, and I'm talking about the NFL draft now. You can do the same process with every different player. You may hit one year, the next year you may miss. You may hit 2 years later, year later you could miss. There is no science to this thing. There is no science to raising kids. A lot of it is a field thing. It's an art in a lot of ways. And even with that, there are still times where you're not successful. So, again, the same process that Jerry Reese of the New York Giants used back in 2010 could be the same process he uses in 2012. Successful, he could be successful in 2010, not so successful in 2012. And that's just the same way as raising little Joey and little Johnny. Do the same exact things you do with Joey, you did with Johnny. And guess what? Little Joey is in jail. Little Johnny is an executive. That's drafting, I think, in a nutshell. That it's no science to this thing. It's just like raising kids. And the parents who tend to be successful are the parents who adjust, or are the parents who do different things for Joey and different things for Johnny. Those are the parents that tend to be successful. And you hear it, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but you hear it all the time. Oh, we were raised the same way. Bobby and I were raised the same way. Little Joey and little Johnny, Johnny's saying that me and Joey were raised the same way. I don't know what happened to Joey. Well, I do. The things that worked for little Johnny didn't work for little Joey. And that's what happens. And that's what happens with this draft. The things that worked in 2010, the type of player you were looking for in 2010, you may see that type of player in 2012, but he may stink. And I don't get caught up in this grading out drafts thing. I don't get caught up in grading these drafts out. I don't get caught up in that. Especially a day or so afterwards. You don't know. You just don't know. And people can say what they want. And they have that's their job. Their job is to talk. That is their job to grade out the NFL draft. That's their job. That's what they do. But you can't tell me. You cannot tell me that you know that all these guys, which guys are going to be successful and which guys are not, and which teams did well and which teams did not. I mean, you got to a lot of people have made a big deal about it. I mean, it's rare, but you have the Jacksonville Jaguars who took a punter in the third round. Kind of unheard of. That just does not happen. And when you see a guy like Rich Eisen, who was hosting the NFL draft on NFL Network, I mean, he went crazy. He went crazy when he heard that pick. You don't see it. It's a rare situation when guys, punters, are drafted in the third round. It's high for a punter. That's a high pick for a punter. I mean, he's the highest. I mean, you look at it. I mean, the last time a punter was picked this high was in 1995. And that's when the Bears took Todd Sauerbrunn in the second round. Well, at least the Jaguars didn't take him in the second round. They took him in the third round. Well, maybe not much better. But they did take him. And the Jaguar team that missed the playoffs last season, a team that seemingly needs a lot of people, needs a lot of players. Now you could argue the punter is an integral part of a team because of field position and things of that nature, but my goodness, third round? You could probably find a free agent punter just as good. You could probably find a free agent punter just as good after the draft. I mean, this is a team that needed defensive line help. This is a team that needed a lot of help. This was a bad football team last year. And they draft a punter. I can't make this up, folks. They did it. I can't make it up. They drafted a punter. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. The second hour of Go For It starts right now. Second hour, Go For It. First hour, we were joined by former NBA star Derek Anderson, who broke down the NBA playoffs, broke it down in a beautiful way. In this second hour, we're going to be joined by Willie Rofe, newest member, newest inductee into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we're also going to be joined by one of the stars of BET's The Game, Pooch Hall. We're going to talk about the show. Have a good old time, have talk about the show, talk about some of the things that he has going on. Great show on BET, great, great show, getting decent ratings on BET. And recently, I know they're getting a sixth season, so good times there for Pooch Hall and the boys of The Game. Good time for those boys right now, those ladies and gentlemen, I should say. I said boys, there are ladies and gentlemen on that show. But again, great time for those guys. I want to go now to a interesting story. Delmon Young of the Detroit Tigers is now facing possible charges for hate crime charges for an incident that he had a few days ago. I mean, you talk about all the time, guys in various cities hanging out, doing God knows what, after hours, and just getting themselves in trouble. The story goes around 2:30 a.m., Young was standing outside of a Hilton in New York City. You had some tourists walking around, four Chicago tourists staying at the hotel. They approached him. They were approached by a bum, basically, and with a Star of David around his neck. And after the group, they apparently walked in to the hotel, Delmon Young started yelling anti-Semitic things at this person. And, I mean, it's just not smart. Just not smart. If you're Delmon Young. I mean, come on. Not a smart thing. And a wise man always said, nothing good happens after 12 o'clock. Nothing good can happen after 12 o'clock. And there may be some truth to that. The later it gets, the more dangerous it gets. I mean, you're out there, who knows if he was liquored up, but, you know, you're yelling and whatnot, and he did get in a tussle with that Chicago group that we talked about that was standing outside the hotel. And ultimately he tackled one of the men in that group. And so it's just not a good look for Delmon Young. Not a good look at all if you're Delmon Young. You're out there, you're partying, having a good old time, and you get yourself jammed up, basically. Get yourself in trouble. Again, doing God knows what at 2:30 in the morning. You got to be smarter than that, Delman. You flat out have to be smarter than that. You don't need to be out at that hour. Nothing good can come at that time. Nothing good can come at that time. Nothing. Nothing. And bad happened to Delman Young. Just bad. Doing bad things. Just dumb. Just dumb. You wonder, some guys, you know, they make all this money and have all these things, and sometimes they feel like they can do anything they want. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they feel like they can do anything they want. Sometimes they feel that way. And I guess Delman Young thought it was acceptable to call other people various words, racially insensitive words. And that's what is here. That's what happened here. That's basically what happened here, I think. You cannot be above the law. You're not above the law. The law always finds a way of winning, no matter how much money you have. You can't be above the law, no matter how much money you have. That's just the reality of the situation. Many men with lots of money have fallen to the law. The law always wins. The law always wins. The law always wins, and it won here with the situation with Delman Young, possibly. Again, these are all, there's accusations and there are charges. I mean, there are accusations at this point, and there are some charges as well. But again, nothing good can happen when you're out at that hour. So advice to everybody. After 12 o'clock, go home. Go home after 12 o'clock because nothing good tends to happen after 12 o'clock. A lot of bad happens at that hour, witching hour. A lot of bad happens after 12 o'clock. Please, please, please be smart about it. And let's bring in a guy who's been smart throughout his life and smart during his 11-year career, during his 13-year career, excuse me, a guy, 11 Pro Bowls, a guy who's now on his way to the Hall of Fame, the one, the only, Willie Rove. Willie, how are you, sir?
How you doing, man? I'm doing good. I'm a little tired. I've been hanging out a little bit past 12 o'clock myself. So I'm a little tired now.
And nothing good can happen after 12, so they say. But, Willie, you're down at the NFL draft, having a good old time down there. You announced the Saints pick yesterday. What are some of your impressions of some of the guys down there at the draft?
Good, man. I think these young kids today, they seem like they have a lot of respect, the ones that were here. They have a level head. A lot of them have a history for the game or know the guys that, you know, they played. So, you know, watching Barry Sanders interact with the kid yesterday, he slipped and he didn't get drafted to the second round, the D lineman from Penn State. And give him some words of encouragement. And, you know, Willie Brown is an ambassador from the Raiders and always shows up and always gives advice and does a lot for the league and does a lot for the NFL. And then doesn't get talked about. And, you know, he's just a class act the way he carries and conducts himself.
And were you able to kind of talk to some of these players, kind of school them on some things?
Well, you know, I rode when the red carpet deal. I was in the car with Matt Khalil and Maurice Claiborne, and Khalil is from Corona, and I talked to him a little bit about that, and just told him they need to get in camp on time, especially Matt Khalil being a left tackle, because both of those guys are going to be expected to start. And Claiborne is from Shreveport, Louisiana, and I played in Ruston an hour down the road in college. So, you know, we were talking about that kind of stuff, and I just told him to watch themselves, and, you know, like what we talked about, you know, put your money up and don't go buy any crazy stuff, and make sure they get in camp on time and get off to a good start with their football career, because they got a chance to make a whole lot of money, especially right now, but after this first contract.
And interesting, you talked about Claiborne. I was talking about him a few minutes ago. The Wonderlic score, he talked about how he blew the test off. I mean, I look at that, and obviously that's some youth involved there, but this is a job interview in a lot of ways. When you go to combines and all those things, the 40s, the reps on the bench press, so on and so forth, the Wonderlic test, these are all jobs. This is a part of a job interview. When you hear a guy say he blew the test off, that concerns me a little bit. Am I reading too much into it?
I think you're reading it too much. He seemed like a nice kid. When, you know, from the impression I got from him, he seemed like a nice kid. You know, he seemed like, you know, he's from Fair Park. I know the high school he played at in Shreveport. And, you know, being in Shreveport and being in Baton Rouge for most of his life, you know, I think the kid's going to be okay. He's going right close to home to Dallas and play with the Dallas Cowboys. And I give the kid a pass. I think from my interpretation of him, he has head on his shoulders. He might have a child or he's still with the mother. So it seems to me he has a level head.
Okay. I think maybe I was, or I could possibly be reading too much into it. But I was just saying, you know, when a job interview, in some respect to me, that's like coming to a job interview, me going to a job interview with wife beaters in shorts, you know what I mean? And that's kind of how I viewed what he did in saying he blew off the test.
Well, I don't think he should have blew off the test, but I think the best thing, the great thing the commissioner has done has got a lot of ex-players involved with this process. And he brings us back to be able to be around those guys. And I think the real special thing he's done is the guys that didn't get drafted on the back there in the back room on the second day. And they get a chance to hang out. We get a chance to hang out and talk with them and tell them it doesn't matter where you get drafted. You know, you're going to top two rounds. Even the third round, we talked to the wide receiver from LSU. He's from Bastrop, Louisiana, and I had a chance to talk. One of the people that was with him went to Louisiana Tech with me. That's a relative of his. And his dad, his family's from Monroe. He's from Bastrop. My grandma was born in Bastrop, and I'm from Pine Bluff, which is real close to that area. So we had a chance to talk to him. He came out of the two junior. He slipped third round, but he ended up going to the New York Times, so I still think he's in a great situation.
Right. Definitely when you go to a team that won the Super Bowl, you are in a great situation. That's a great, great point. And looking at it now, Willie, you talked about Commissioner Goodell, and one of the things that I found interesting in just watching the draft was the bear hugs, the hugs that he was giving the players. You look at the NBA draft, David Stern usually is a traditional handshake. And over the years, it's been just that traditional handshake. But with this commissioner, there's guys are giving him bear hugs. He's hugging these guys like they are his sons. It was interesting to me.
You know, he's been doing that for a couple of years. And last year, you know, I had my reservations about the commissioner, I will say that. And, you know, I've gotten to know him a little better, and he, you know, he seems more personable this year. He's, you know, he was talking a lot more, hanging out with the guys. And, you know, he's got Merlin Hanks and a lot of ex-players around him. I saw a guy play with Steve Israel in the NFL minority program, trying to get in the NFL, get into the NFL with a job. And I think he's helping a lot of guys out. I think he really cares about these kids. And most of them have a chance and understands, you know, that a lot of them, you know, come from some tough situations, but have excelled at sports. And I think he really, really cares about them and wants them to do well. No,
right.
If the kids don't do what they need to do and get in some type of trouble, you know, he will, I think he will scold them. But, you know, as far as, you know, punishment. But I think he really, really cares about these young men. And you know, for him to be the commissioner that running the league, he wants to see them do well.
Right. And again, it was just interesting to me to see that. I guess
they
never really paid attention to it.
They've always
past.
Been around him. So,
right.
You know, they're in the draft now, but, you know, through this process and in the future, all these kids have been around the commissioner before the draft. They'll have time to see him more. Just like with the way he's bringing players back. I was at the opener in New Orleans when they brought everybody back. They started doing that on Thursday night. Then I was up here last year. I'm back up here again this year. I'll see him at the Hall of Fame ceremony. So we've had a chance to interact on four or five different occasions. So
right.
It becomes like you see him on a regular basis. And, you know, like I said, the great thing about this deal, it, you know, the teams get to choose the player they want to send back to announce the pick. And, you know, I was very, very excited to see Dwight Stevenson, who I knew was a monster when he played center for the Miami Dolphins. And he's still a big man, but I had heard so many things about Dwight Stevenson. And he was telling me how much he respected my game and how he said I delivered a blow when I came off the ball. And you know, the other center, Mike from Pittsburgh Steelers, was a great one. But Dwight Stevenson, you know, he might be the best center to ever play the game.
Are you talking about Mike Webster of the Pittsburgh Steelers? The great Mike Webster. Of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now, Willie, looking at it now, we're talking to Willie Rose, 11-time Pro Bowler, newest member, newest Hall of Fame inductee. And Willie, looking at it now, today the Washington Redskins, interesting pick. Obviously they picked RG3, Robert Griffin III, second pick on Thursday night. But today they picked the quarterback out of Michigan State, Kirk Cousins. Now you may have a situation where Cousins and RG3, let's just say RG3 doesn't get off to a good start, but Cousins does. To me, it was a bad selection by the Redskins, and it could open themselves up to a lot of controversy moving forward.
Who do they have backing up RG3?
Well, you look at John Beck. I believe he's still under contract there, but you're talking about now, Willie, kind of two rookie quarterbacks coming in there, and what if your guy, your number two guy, struggles, and Kirk Cousins does well?
Cousins was pretty good in Michigan State. I mean, at this point, you're trying to pick the best player available, and I mean, you need two quarterbacks. So I'm not going to say it was a bad pick, because that kid won a lot of football games in Michigan State. But you do need another quarterback just in case, you know, something happens to RG3. You have another quarterback that can learn the system. And if he does struggle some, you have somebody else you can go to. So I'm not going to say that's a bad pick, because you might have two quality quarterbacks there.
I just think you're opening yourself up to something.
Well, you're going to put some pressure. He's going to have maybe a little more pressure on him, but Well, I mean, that kid won at Michigan State, right? He was a good quarterback.
Yeah, no, he definitely won at Michigan State, but it's just, I don't know, I think he just unneeded pressure on RG3, but we'll see what happens. I mean, pressure is a part of playing football, and we'll see how he responds to the competition. I was saying it was similar to many years ago when you had the Cowboys where they chose Aikman and Steve Walsh. And you choose Aikman, I guess Walsh was the backup plan just if Aikman didn't work out. But ultimately,
okay, but when Aikman got banged up, so Walsh played pretty good for him. And I ended up playing with Steve Walsh in New Orleans, but Walsh ended up having to play some when Aikman was hurt some of the time before he went to another team.
And you remember that that year where they won in 15, the one game that they won, Steve Walsh started. And so we'll see. I mean, I don't think I would have did it if I was a Redskins. But to your point, you do need two quarterbacks, but you almost think you could find that quarterback, that veteran quarterback out there. You almost think you could. But, I mean, that's what the Redskins decided to do. Did you get to mingle with RG3 at all?
I just shook his hand, and Andrew Luck's hand, because they were the first two guys chosen, and we were in the back. And then we went upstairs to another room during the draft. And during the draft, we were upstairs in the rush room, but before the draft, before we went on the red carpet, we were all in the room together for a short time period. And he came over, and I was sitting with Barry Sanders and Mike Rucker and a couple more guys. And he came over and spoke and shook everybody's hand. And, you know, I stood up and shook his hand and shook Andrew Luck's hand. And I was there. But, you know, like I said, these guys seem like they're very respectful and very humble guys. And I think they like the fact that they're around, very, very good football players that left a good mark on the game.
And, Willie, the NBA playoffs have started today. Great time of the year. Playoffs, I mean, right now it's so wide open, especially in the Western Conference. This is an exciting time, and it's gotten underway with the Bulls and Sixers right now. The Bulls are winning at halftime, up 11. You look at these playoffs now, Willie, as we go into these playoffs. I want to start out West. Six teams legitimately could win or get to the NBA Finals. Six teams out West. Six teams. Oklahoma City, the Spurs, the Grizzlies, the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Mavericks. Six teams legitimately could get to the NBA Finals. This is going to be a great playoff. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great playoff. I think the West is going to be a lot tougher. And I will say this. The team that comes out the West will be a lot more tired than the team that comes out the East. I still think that under the circumstances I think it's Miami's year. I really think it's Miami's year. I think Boston's older. The Knicks are Carmelo's been playing great lately, and the Knicks have been playing good, but I don't think they got enough this year. So I think if Miami can make it out the East, whoever they got to play in the West is going to be tired, and I don't think it'll be Dallas. Memphis is going to be tough. Oklahoma City is obviously going to be tough. But I think if Miami can get through the East, I think that they'll have a good shot of winning the title this year.
Definitely. I mean, I think Miami, I had Miami and Oklahoma City at the beginning of the year in the finals. I'm going to stick to that and not have Miami winning at all. And I can't really – I will say this. This matchup against the Knicks is a dangerous matchup. The Knicks can score the basketball. Right now the Knicks are defending. And if they can get Miami in a half-court game, because Miami is a totally different team, and the playoffs is a slower game, if you get Miami in a half-court game, you have an opportunity. And the Knicks can do that.
Well, the problem with the Knicks is we don't know what's going on with Tyson Chandler, and he might not play today. So without Tyson Chandler, they're not going to be able to beat the Miami Heat. And they're not going to be able to slow him down too much without Tyson Chandler in the middle.
Well, and Tyson, to your point, Tyson Chandler is suffering from the flu, and there is a good chance that he'll miss game one. But let's just say Chandler's healthy. let's go with the assumption that Chandler's healthy. Can the Knicks win this series? I don't think they will, but do you think they can?
I don't think they can. No, not in seven games. No.
Even with the ability
unless
that
Melo plays great, unless all their role players step up, you got Band-Aids at point guard. I mean, you don't even, you know, I just don't see them beating the Miami Heat with an older staff, with Amari Stoudemire, he's been banged up, just hurt. I mean, the only way they're going to win is if Carmelo Anthony just plays out of his mind.
Right.
For seven games.
I think it's possible, especially, let's just say Amari. Amari is not the same type of player he was many years ago. But if Amari Stoudemire can play like the Amari of old, it could be a problem for the Miami Heat. I don't think they'll win it.
I don't think they can play like that anymore.
He doesn't, but near the end of the season there, he's played very well. He played pretty well near the end of the season after coming back from the back injury. But, you know, the back is so unpredictable at times, you know what I mean? That back can be so unpredictable, so you never know when it's going to go out on him again. You just don't know. So just so we're clear, and any other series that stands out for you?
Who does Chicago play in the second round? Will they play Boston?
Chicago would play Boston in the second round if Chicago can get past the mighty Philadelphia 76ers, but they would play the Boston Celtics in the second round if the Celtics get past
that's
going to
be
Boston.
Tough. I think last year with the Heat, the Dallas was playing so good last year, they got They swept the Lakers, right?
They swept the Lakers.
Okay, and then Oklahoma Thunder. What was that series?
I believe that was six.
Miami had to exert so much energy getting past Chicago and getting past Boston last year that I think they ran out of gas last year. On top of, you know, just the offense didn't even look like it was non-existent. They ran out of gas. I don't think that happens this year. I think the teams in the West are going to cancel themselves out. I think they're going to be the longer series. And I just see if Miami wants to win a ring, and if they do, you know, the problem with Miami, somebody's on that bench is going to step up and do more in the playoffs, which I think the rotation will shorten up in their house. They have guys that step up and play better and come playoff time. But I just think it's an easier road. Miami's got more talent than they had last year, and they should be able to get to the finals.
And we shall see what happens with that. Willie, real quickly now, you had the situation, meta world peace, the elbow to James Harden. He got seven games. Was that suspension? Is the seven games enough, or should it have been longer?
I think that's long enough. I mean, seven games. It looked like he just lost control. I don't know what he was thinking about when he elbowed the guy when he turned and went down the court. It just looked like he was, I don't know what he was doing. But, you know, I mean, because of his history and, you know, he has been doing a lot better. He has been and changing his name and, you know, giving his ring away and, you know, donating a lot of money and time to charity and mental illness. You know, he has been doing a lot better. So I will give him credit for that. So hopefully that was just a fluke incident where it seemed like he just, you know, I don't know what was going on with him, but he just lost it for a minute.
It almost seemed like he was just like a kid after that big dunk and just got so excited that he just went crazy. And
well, part of it, he went crazy in the middle of a basketball
game. Right, and my initial thought when I first saw it, I was thinking, okay, he didn't mean to do that. Then on second thought, I mean, I think he meant to do what he did, but I don't think he meant to throw the elbow. I don't think he wanted the elbow that high, but, I mean, it happens, obviously. But
I think he was so excited about the play, he was just like, get off me. And
right.
For a minute, he just snapped. He wasn't meaning to do it, but he just, you know, he just, I don't know what's going through his mind.
I don't think a lot of people do. I don't think a lot of people know what's going through their mind. Meta world peace. Maybe he was Ron Artest at that point. I don't know. maybe he was just going back and forth. Who knows? But looking at it, Willie, just so we're clear, in the NBA Finals, you have the Heat and who else?
It would be interesting to have the Heat and the Lakers.
You think that's possible?
That would be a real interesting series for me. I would love to see the Heat have to play the Lakers, and I would love to see LeBron James and Dwayne Wade have to battle with Kobe Bryant and Andrew Bynum and Marc Gasol.
And we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I would love to see that, too. I would love to see Kobe and LeBron in an NBA final. I just don't think it can happen. I think Oklahoma City, and I look at Oklahoma City, and I know they're playing the Mavericks, but to me, the way they've struggled near the end of this season, I think the Mavericks is a good team for them to play because it's a team that is the world champions and a team that's, I think, going to bring the best out of Oklahoma City. Perfect team to play in my mind.
The only problem with Oklahoma City is their jump shooting team. I mean, they still need somebody to go inside and do some things on the inside. I mean, you're not going to win just shooting jump shots the whole time. So who's going to be the one that's going to score inside for them?
And that'll be big. That'll be interesting to see who will do it. Obviously, Kendrick Perkins is limited in some respect, and Ibaka, an athlete, but doesn't really have much of a low post game.
Yeah, and then you got Nick Collins to go off the bench. He's just a role player. He gives you real good minutes, though.
And you look at Oklahoma City with Westbrook and Durant. You probably have the two best, or arguably one of the two best wing players in the game of basketball. Well, arguably the two best scorers in the game of basketball. Arguably, I'm not saying they are, but arguably. And, you know, Durant did win the scoring title.
You do. You do with those two guys on the floor together.
Willie, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. We wish you nothing but the best of luck moving forward. Get some rest.
Same to you. I will get some rest. And thank you very much. I had a great time. The commissioner of the league does a great job bringing us back. You know, when you have a chance to come through some appearances and get a free trip to New York for 4 or 5 days, you know, it's a wonderful time.
And hopefully we can get up tonight if you're not too tired.
Okay, hopefully we can.
All right.
All right.
Willie Rowe, 11-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer, having a good old time in New York City, as he gave the pick yesterday for the New Orleans Saints. Great time there for him. Again, you get a free trip to New York City. You can't really beat that. You can't beat that at all. Can't beat that at all. And so, you look at everything with the NFL draft. It's final day today. Rounds 4 through 7 today. And it's 3 days. I mean, you look at the NFL, what they did. They really stretched this thing out. And stretched this thing out in a way that Thursday night, prime time, you have the first round, second round, second and third round, prime time, Friday night. I mean, they did a good job with that. And I think it brings more eyes and ears and more attention to your product. And I mean, the NFL, I mean, they can't really do anything wrong. I don't think the NFL can do anything wrong, really. I mean, they're just doing some great things in terms of every move that they make, for the most part, has turned to gold. They're like King Midas in a lot of ways. Everything that they've touched has turned to gold. Everything. Everything that they've touched has turned to gold. Putting the draft in prime time. Doing all the things that they've done, it has turned to gold. Roger Goodell is King Midas. Roger Goodell is King Midas. If he touches you, it will turn to gold. If he touches you, it will turn to gold. And that's what Roger Goodell, he's got that Midas touch. He has the Midas touch. He has that Midas touch and has had it for the past few years. Anything and everything that he's touched has turned to gold. it has turned to gold. You're listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio. We are back. We are back. And we talked about the NBA playoffs at length with Derek Anderson, with Willie Rofe as well. Interesting to see what's going to happen in this first round. And you look at back in 1999, lockout shortened season, you had surprises, and you had a big surprise with New York Knicks, who went from the eighth seed to the NBA Finals. That doesn't happen. That rarely happens. Eighth seed to the NBA Finals. Crazy. And that's what happened with the New York Knicks that particular year. Lockout shortened season here, and who knows, you may have a similar situation. Maybe with the Knicks. You may have that situation with the New York Knicks, a team that is playing some good basketball right now. A team right now that is very, very dangerous. This is a very dangerous basketball team. A very dangerous basketball team. And again, the way they have been defending, the way Carmelo Anthony has been scoring the basketball, you have to give the Knicks. You have to give the Knicks a shot against the Miami Heat. You have to. Again, I'm not saying they beat the Heat. Matter of fact, I'm saying they won't beat the Heat. I'm saying definitively they won't beat the Heat. But again, with the guys that they have, with the scorers they have, they possess, the guys that they have on the basketball court, what a lot of guys bring to the table with that ball club, they can beat the Heat. They can do it. They just won't do it. And anytime, and I talked about the Miami Heat, and I said they're going to win this thing. And anytime you can put on the court a LeBron James with Dwayne Wade and the Chris Bosh together, it's hard to lose. It's hard to beat that team. That team, in some respect, is a tough, you could call them unbeatable in a lot of ways, even though the Mavericks did. But I think having another year together, I think they're unbeatable this year. I don't see a team that can beat them in a seven-game series. I don't see them losing four times to another team in a seven-game series. They are the most talented team in the game of basketball. I can't see anybody beating that ball club. I cannot see any team beating that ball club four times. I think the Knicks can make it dangerous for them. I think the Knicks can definitely make it dangerous for them. But I don't think the Knicks can beat them four times. Four times. I don't think it's possible. Might be able to beat them three. More than likely, they'd probably beat them two times. But four times, I can't see it. But the Knicks, now the Knicks were a team in my mind, they would have benefited from playing the Chicago Bulls. Because I think they would have had a, you could argue, they would have had a great shot to beat the Chicago Bulls. They match up much better with the Chicago Bulls than they do with the Miami Heat. And the Knicks, if they were given the right matchup, if they had the right matchup, they could have made it to the NBA. They could make it to the NBA Finals if they had the right matchup. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, the Knicks were 4 or 5. If you're 4 or 5, you avoid the Miami Heat all the way till the conference finals. You avoid the Miami Heat if you're 4 or 5. If you're 4 or 5, you avoid the Miami Heat. But they're not 4 or 5. They're 7. And unfortunately, being 7, you have to go against the Heat. I will say this. If the Knicks do beat the Miami Heat in this first round of the playoffs, you may have to start talking about the Knicks being the favorite to get to the NBA Finals. If the Knicks beat the Miami Heat, and that's a big, big but. That's a big but. And that's a big if. Ifs and buts. That's a big if. But if they do, the Knicks could make it to the NBA Finals. But again, beating the Miami Heat is a very, very tall order. A very tall order. But the Knicks can do it. The Knicks can do it. Not saying they will, but the Knicks can do it. And I don't think they will. I know they won't. But if and I'm going to reiterate it, if the Knicks get by the Heat, they're going to go to the NBA Finals. If they get by the Heat, they're going to the NBA Finals. They're going to the NBA Finals. That's flat out. They're going to the NBA Finals. But that's a big if. That is a big if. A big if. Big if. But we'll see. That's why they play the game. And in these playoffs, anything can happen. But more often than not, in a seven-game series, the best team usually wins. In a seven-game series, the best team usually wins. Who's the best team here? It's the Miami Heat. It is the Miami Heat. And if this was a short series, you could say the Knicks would have a better chance. Because with Melo, with Stoudemire, you could steal a ball game with their scoring. You could steal a ball game with their scoring. You could steal a game. You could steal a game with their scoring, with their ability to score the basketball. But in a seven-game series, the best team always finds a way to win. More often than not, in a game of basketball, the best team wins in a seven-game series. So, we'll see who the best team is. We shall see who the best team is. And again, in the regular season, the Miami Heat, 3-0, swept the Knicks in the regular season. 3-0. Do they have that same magic in the playoffs? Will they have that same magic in the playoffs? I think there's a good chance that they will. Meeting the Miami Heat. They're not going to sweep the Knicks. They're not going to sweep the Knicks. But they're going to win this series. They're not going to sweep the New York Knicks. And if I was a Knicks fan, I'd be so disappointed to play the Miami Heat. I would be screaming, why can't I play the Bulls? Why can't I play the Bulls? A team that is so vulnerable. So vulnerable. Mm-hmm. We're back, having a little coughing fit there, struggling through a cold here, trying to get it through to the end. Got about 15 minutes to work my way through the end here. Battling and fighting this cold. Had it for about 2 weeks. Man, the weather is tough. The weather is tough. Just going from cold to hot, hot to cold. It's messing me up. Messing me up right now. But I battled throughout these 2 hours, and I'm fighting and getting to the end here. Tough battle. Tough battle. But I'm a tough guy, and I get it done. And that's what I'm trying to do here as we try to make it here to the end. Evan Turner of the Philadelphia 76ers said that he wanted to play the Chicago Bulls. Evan Turner said he wanted to play the Chicago Bulls. Evan, you might want to be careful what you wish for, because your team is down 13 in the third quarter, 68-55 in the third quarter, and the Bulls are having their way with the Philadelphia 76ers. Evan Turner, you don't talk. You don't talk, son. I know you're young. I know you're a little wet beyond the ears, but you don't talk, and you don't wake up a giant. You don't wake up a giant. And you're waking up a giant. You're waking up a giant in Derrick Rose and the Chicago Bulls. When you tell the team, when you tell the media that you prefer to play the Chicago Bulls. Some things are better left unsaid. And that is that something that is best left unsaid. You don't say that. That was better left unsaid. You don't say that. You just don't say that. Just dumb. Just flat out dumb. Flat out dumb. And I'm sure Doug Collins has spoke to him about it. I'm sure Doug Collins has spoke to him about it. I'm sure Doug Collins has been in his ear talking about it. I'm sure he has. I hope he has. Because you don't do that. You don't do that. You're not good enough to do that. You're the eighth seed. You're not good enough to do that. You're not good enough to do that. You're not. You're not. Evan Turner, shut your mouth. Don't say another word, please. Because you only will get yourself in trouble. Shut your mouth. Be careful what you wish for. And a funny thing that came out of the NFL draft, you have Mohamed Sanu from Rutgers, who got a call, which was a prank call, and the call said that he was going to be drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. From that call, his agent tweeted that he was going to be drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. And that was in the second round. That was the first round that he got a call saying he was going to be drafted by the Bengals. Well, it didn't happen. It was a mistake. Well, it was a clean call, pretty much. And that's got to be tough. That's a painful joke to play on somebody. That's an awful joke to play on somebody. That's an awful practical joke to play on somebody. Tell them that you're going to be drafted in the first round? That's awful. And it turns out Sanu was not going to be drafted in the first round, but he got drafted in the third round by guess who? The Cincinnati Bengals, the team that he thought he was going to get drafted by in the first round, the team that prank caller said he was going to be drafted by. And that his agent tweeted. That's crazy. If you're Sanu at the time, you got to be very angry and upset. But now, I mean, he was ultimately drafted by the Bengals. The Bengals did draft him. And so, all's well that ends well. But, hey, big jump from 27th to the third round in terms of finance, in terms of money. It's a big change, a big difference. Big difference. Big difference. But now I guess he can smile. He can laugh. It's over. And now he is with the Cincinnati Bengals, the team that allegedly drafted him initially in the first round. But it turns out it was a prank, a joke, a bad joke, a bad prank. You don't do that to people. You just don't do that to people. And that's what happened there. You don't do that. But, you know, you feel bad for the kid, but ultimately the kid was drafted. So in a lot of ways, what's done is done. What's done is done. And speaking of somebody who could be done, big fight in Atlantic City tonight. Bernard Hopkins, Chad Dawson. For Bernard Hopkins, WBC, light heavyweight title. This is a rematch between these two. Last time these two faced off, you had the situation where basically Chad Dawson tackled Bernard Hopkins, or they got tangled up. They got tangled up. And in getting tangled up, Bernard Hopkins allegedly hurt his shoulder. Well, there has not been an MRI from that, so we don't know how severe the injury was. We don't have an MRI to prove or to show if he really was injured. We don't have any proof. All we have is a doctor's note. All we have is a doctor's note. That's all we have. That's all we have to go on is a doctor's note. Not an MRI, a doctor's note. Wow. But anyway, big fight tonight. I think Chad Dawson wins tonight. I think Bernard Hopkins had a great run. But I think there was a reason that Bernard Hopkins has dodged Chad Dawson. You could argue the financials of it all. Chad Dawson, not a guy that brings a lot to the table in terms of money, in terms of a fan base. But I think in terms of what Chad Dawson brings to the table, I think Bernard wanted no part of that. I think Bernard wanted no part of that. And in a lot of ways, he ran out of opponents. Chad Dawson was the guy he had to fight. He had no choice but to fight Chad Dawson. He had no choice but to fight Chad Dawson. And now he's going to fight him tonight in Atlantic City. The young man gets it done tonight. The young man gets it done tonight. At some point, Bernard Hopkins, 47 years old, he's got to get old, theoretically. He's got to get old. But he hasn't gotten old yet. You thought after Calzaghe, after he fought Joe Calzaghe, you know what? You said to yourself, he's done. He's finally gotten old. But no. Bernard Hopkins comes back against Kelly Pavlik at a catchweight fight. Beat him. Beat Winky Wright. Then he has the two fights against Pascal. First fight ended in controversy, a controversial draw. Second fight, Bernard Hopkins beats him, unanimous decision. So you thought over the years that Bernard Hopkins was done. And he has shown us, and he has shown us time and time again that he is not done. But I think tonight he's going up against a younger and a guy who is not made to order for him. Chad Dawson is not made to order for Bernard Hopkins. He is not made to order for Bernard Hopkins. He's a guy that if you're Bernard Hopkins and Bernard Hopkins' team, that you do not want to fight. Because a lot of ways, it's not much of a reward financially. It's not much of a reward financially. So it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a, well, I say good fight, but that first fight, first couple of rounds, didn't look like it was going to be a lot of excitement. It looked like it was going to be a stinker. Maybe it'll be different tonight. Maybe it will be different tonight. But Bernard Hopkins is up against a guy. I thought John Pascal was made to order for Bernard Hopkins. Chad Dawson, not so much. Chad Dawson is not made to order for Bernard Hopkins. He's just not. He's not made to order for Bernard Hopkins. Pascal was. Pascal was. Made to order for Bernard. And so he's going to have a problem tonight, Bernard Hopkins. And that's going to be in the form of bad Chad Dawson. Bad Chad Dawson is going to give Bernard Hopkins problems tonight. And I think it all ends for Bernard Hopkins tonight against Chad Dawson. I think it all ends. It all ends tonight for Bernard Hopkins. It was a great run for the great Bernard Hopkins. But every run has to end. Nothing truly lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. And the run of Bernard Hopkins will unfortunately have to end tonight in Atlantic City. It will have to end tonight in Atlantic City. It will have to end. But the NBA playoffs are behind us. Big fight tonight with Bernard Hopkins. Big fight next week. Floyd Mayweather, Miguel Cotto. NFL draft going on. Baseball in full swing. A lot of great things going on in the world of sports. A lot of great things going on in the world of sports. A lot of great things to talk about in the world of sports. A lot of great things to talk about. And anybody who thinks that their team did well in the NFL draft today, talk to me in like 3 years. Because that's when we really will know if your team did well. Talk to me in like 3 years. 3 years. And then that's when we'll know if your team really, really did well in a 2012 NFL draft. We were supposed to be joined by Pooch Hall, but apparently he's not able to join us today. Hopefully we can get Pooch on another time. But we want to thank Derek Anderson for stopping by. Make sure you support some of the great things he has going on. Follow him on Twitter at Derek L. Anderson. Also, we want to thank the great Willie Rofe as he's in New York enjoying the NFL draft. He announced the Saints pick last night. It's great to get his insight on what's going on down there in New York City. And also, I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank everybody behind the scenes here at Go For It. I battled a cold. I'm fighting. I made it to the end. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Go For It GAN. Follow us there on Twitter. I say some good, pretty funny things. So follow me on Twitter at Go For It GAN. please, please, please follow me there. And, again, listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. For everybody here at Go For It, we hope you have a great day, a great night, and a great week. See you later. Bye.